Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast presented by the Chargers Podcast Network. My name is Steven, and I'm the host as always, and joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. We've got mock draft to do today. I'm excited.
Yeah, mock draft today. As of recording this, we are 1 week away from the start of the legal tampering period. When this comes out, it will be 1 week from the first day of free agency. So, you know, a lot of exciting times today. Last week, we highlighted free agency. This week, we decided to do a bit of a combine recap, and we'll have, like Tyler mentioned, a quick five-round mock draft as well that we're really excited about. So before we get started on today's show, Tyler and I are fans of the show, or fans of the team, excuse me. We are fans of the show, but we are fans of the team just like you guys are. The opinions that we express on the show are not reflective of the Chargers organization themselves. At the end of the day, we are content creators and fans of the team just like you guys. So we're very grateful for this platform, and hopefully you guys enjoy the show today. That being said, we do have some things from the combine that we want to touch on. So there's a very relevant news regarding the quarterback class, or maybe not news, maybe buzz is more apt there. And then we wanted to touch on some risers and fallers from the combine. I watched most of the weekend. I didn't get to watch the stuff while I was at work, but I watched stuff on Saturday, Sunday. I had a great time doing that. So first and foremost is the quarterback buzz. It's very relevant for the Chargers, who are in a fantastic spot at number five with a franchise quarterback. Hopefully you guys listened to all the great stuff that Chris Harry and Matt Money Smith put out this week. There was a lot of trade down talk, a lot of quarterback talk. And I think a lot of it is kind of centered around the, you know, JJ McCarthy stuff, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams. It's a fantastic quarterback class. Lots of teams need a quarterback. You know, there was a Rich Eisen clip today saying that he heard at the combine that the Giants are done with Daniel Jones, that they have buyer's remorse. They're ready for the next stage. The Denver Broncos released Russell Wilson today. There was news that the Las Vegas Raiders are inquiring about trading up. So the Chargers are in a fantastic spot to potentially trade down here, Tyler. And I guess we've talked a little bit about, you know, the potential here for trading down, but we haven't talked about a scenario where Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting on the board at number five. And that's a possibility as well. Diana Reesini hinting this weekend that quarterbacks could go 1 through 4 in this draft class, which would leave Marvin Harrison Jr. there on the board for the taking for the Chargers. If that scenario unfolds, how much are you, what's your consideration, or how fast are you making that decision at number five? And who would, let's say, hypothetically speaking, how fast are you running to the podium for Marvin Harrison Jr. is what I'm asking here.
Yeah, I'll sprint to Detroit myself. I'll do some back handsprings the whole way there. You saw some handstands and cartwheels before. I'll throw in a front tuck, you know, back tuck, whatever is needed if that pick goes in. If he's there, that is the selection. And that would be the most unifying thing since, oh, just a month ago when the Chargers hired Jim Harbaugh. I just think it would be the perfect storm of things happening. And sometimes the Chargers could use a little bit of luck. I do not buy that it's going to happen. I genuinely believe that three quarterbacks will go, not four, but it does feel like there is a chance, and a chance is all we need.
Yeah, I agree. There's a chance. I think, you know, there's a lot of discussion right now happening. I think a lot of us kind of coming to the table, like we watched week 18, we watched the Cardinals lose that game, and we just kind of penciled off Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to be a Charger. And now that there's a chance that he could be a Charger, I think a lot of people are kind of coming to realize, like, hey, like, maybe we should go watch this guy again. It's been very centered around Malik Nabers and Romo Dunze, who are fantastic prospects. But to me, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in this draft class. And I think I can understand why there's love from Malik Nabers out there, love for Romo Dunze, but Marvin Harrison Jr. Is the best wide receiver prospect I have studied. So if the Chargers were able to land him, if the scenario happens where the quarterbacks go 1 through 4, I would be so thrilled to land Marvin Harrison Jr. with the Chargers, with Justin Herbert. The only problem is that he cannot wear number 18. He would have to choose a different number. That's the only negative here for me to look at. Maybe he could go wear number 88 like his dad did. But to me, he's the best prospect in the class. He's the best wide receiver I've ever studied. I'm sprinting to that podium as soon as humanly possible if Marvin Harrison Jr. is at number five.
Yeah, I mean, to have the shot at a player who's considered one of the best players, and some people will have him as the best player in the entire draft, with guys like Neighbors and Odunze and Caleb Williams and Joe Alt and some of these guys, the defensive players, to be considered the best guy in the class with all those guys and just the idea that the Chargers are so close to be able to get him. It's really exciting. That fourth pick is going to be the longest 10 minutes of my life.
Yeah. I guess that's the next thing is, you know, how much do you buy the the Cardinals potentially trading out of that pick? Because I tend to agree that quarterbacks are likely to go 1-3. The order is kind of TBD. There's a lot of love for Drake May. There's love for Jaden Daniels. There's some people have JJ McCarthy as QB3, Jaden Daniels as QB4. I buy QBs going 1-3, but I'm still a little skeptical about the Cardinals trading out of a chance of landing Marvin Harrison Jr. That being said, they could have taken Will Anderson last year. They didn't. They traded out of that pick. It's not completely impossible, although Marvin Harrison Jr. is a much better prospect to me than when Will Anderson was.
Yeah, the Cardinals are not a player away. You're not picking this early, and also you're a player away.
Yeah.
So I think they could definitely see, and the Chargers may see as well, that trading back is the best option for them. The kind of bummer is, like, who are you trading out for? Or who else would you take maybe at four if you stuck there? And unfortunately, they don't need a tackle, right? They took one last year. DJ Humphries is their other starter. He's making a ton of money. They don't need a Brock Bowers. I mean, they could use a Brock Bowers. Everybody could use a Brock Bowers. But Trey McBride is going to take that next step and be their tight end one. So it's not Bowers. I don't think it's a defensive player. So unfortunately, it kind of is wide receiver if they stick. And so they'd have to like Malik Neighbors or Rumo Dunze more, or they'd want to trade back for a defensive player. So it's tough because if they needed a tackle or if they really needed a tight end, I think it's a much more likely situation. But because they don't need those two, and it might genuinely be like Bowers and Alt as the next two best players in the draft, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to trade out of that pick.
Yeah, they do have like 11 picks already. It's not like they need more picks. I mean, you know, like you said, they're not a player away. They if they don't see any difference between Marvin Harrison Jr. and wide receiver three or whatever the case may be, then yeah, like I guess I could see them trading down. But to me, it's like you're in that position, like you're trying to maximize Kyler Murray. I think you take Marvin Harrison Jr. It's the same argument for me. Like if Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board, I'm taking that player because you're trying to maximize Justin Herbert. You're trying to get that kind of level of talent on the board. So we'll see, man. But it's very exciting to hear this kind of quarterback buzz. I love all of the rumors. I love all of the J. McCarthy stuff. Like, give me all of it. We kind of made fun of Jim Harbaugh. Like, I'm not going to lie. We made fun of him for that J.J. McCarthy quote the day after he got hired. Turns out the league feels the same way. They love this guy. So I'm excited. I think it's great news for the Chargers. They either land Marvin Harrison Jr. or they can trade back. And I think that's where I'm at with pick number 5 right now. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone, you trade back. If he's there, you take him. And those are the two scenarios for me that are working inside my brain at this current moment.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. We'll see what happens when we do our mock draft.
Yeah. All right. Let's touch on some combine risers here quickly, Tyler. If you had to pick one guy who like maybe moved up your board the most this week or helped their case the most or was like, hey, like I got to go back and rewatch this guy, who is that player for you?
It's a player who put his name on my radar, and that was Theo Johnson, the tight end for Penn State, because all the discussion about this tight end class is it's not a very good class. It is not last year's class. It is not even close to last year's class. It genuinely seems like Brock Bowers and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Theo Johnson said, hold on for one moment. Now, Brock Bowers is tight end one. Like, that is very much clearly still going to be the case. But you're looking for other guys in round two, round three, round four, who can jump up and be that tight end you can develop. And Theo Johnson, how many times have we seen a tight end test well, but they're really just a receiver that's really big. And they test really well, but they're not actually a great prospect and they definitely cannot block. So I expected to go into this and like watch the tight end from Old Dominion last year where you think, okay, the RAS is great. You should draft this player, but you watch the film and it's not a perfectly well-rounded player. Yeah. Theo Johnson, man, he is an actual true tight end. He can be an inline blocking tight end. I don't think he's just a sit there only blocking tight end by any means, but the way they used him, the way they creatively moved him, how he could block in space at the line was fantastic. And then on top of that, he's a guy that has the RAS profile. So to me, he just stuck right on my radar. Like, who is Theo Johnson? Had to watch him. And the good news is it wasn't just that the RAS was good. It was also that he's very good on film too.
Yeah, the tight ends tested on Friday. And so Saturday morning, I woke up and I was watching all the tight ends that I possibly could. Theo Johnson definitely stands out as an inline tight end type. He, you know, like AJ Barner from Michigan is definitely a better blocker than him. I think he's probably the best inline blocking tight end in this class, but he's not much of a receiver and he's not much of an athlete. Like, to me, you're trying at the tight end position, if you're not taking Brock Bowers, you're trying to get somebody who has shown flashes of a blocker, flashes of a receiver, and tests very well. That's the key here. Arguably more than any other position, you're trying to bet on traits at tight end because it is a slow developing position, usually, unless you're a member of the 2023 draft class. otherwise, you're just amazing immediately. But generally speaking, like, that's what you're trying to do. And so Theo Johnson, to me, if the Chargers don't take Brock Bowers, Theo's the guy that you're trying to look out for me. I think he has the frame, the athleticism, you know, the flashes of a receiver. He had a route against Illinois. I want to say it was like a kind of a post whip route, and it was a fantastic route. He's shown good contested catch ability, yards after catch ability as well. Like, he's the one. And I think of any player of this draft cycle, I think he's potentially helped himself the most because he was the best tight end of the Senior Bowl. He tested like a freak at the combine. So he's the tight end that I think the Chargers should be targeting outside of Brock Bowers.
I would agree. Do you have him as tight end too?
I don't. Okay. I have Jatavion Sanders as tight end too. I think he does, in terms of like a modern move tight end, I think he fits that projection very well. He's got great body control, fantastic yards after catch ability. He's more of a ready-made white, like, receiving option at tight end. I don't love the blocking. I think that's the thing that I would question the fit with the Chargers specifically. So that's my thing is I have Sanders graded higher, but Theo, I think, fits more of like the profile that the Chargers could be looking for.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, for you, who was your biggest riser at the combine?
Yeah, this is a guy, I loved his tape. I thought, like, instantly watching him, this is a Jim Harbaugh kind of wide receiver. I thought he was a good athlete, but he tested like an awesome athlete, and that's Ricky Pearsall from Florida. You know, he played Utah twice. I loved what he did against Utah. So I've watched his game tapes and went back and watched his actual college tape. And I loved the toughness over the middle. I loved the contested catch ability. The precision that he runs his routes is fantastic. And I was thinking like, okay, like this is a guy who's maybe like, you know, end of the third round type of wide receiver. Maybe he's a pretty above average athlete. And then he was one of the most athletic testers at the combine, jumped over 40 inches in the vert, ran a sub 4.4, and just did a fantastic job at the combine and showcased his athletic ability at a higher level than I thought. So for me, he's somebody that I thought I was high on him in terms of like a top 100 player. And I think now he's probably worked himself into the top 75, top 60, maybe. Similar to Theo, like he was great at the Senior Bowl. He was great at the combine. He's just checking these boxes, man. And I think he would be a fantastic fit for the Chargers. Again, if they don't take wide receiver in the first round, he's somebody, you know, if in a trade down scenario, if they have a second round pick or a second, third round pick, he's somebody I could see them making a lot of sense for the Chargers.
Yeah, I guess the theme of the best testers at the combine were the guys that I didn't watch. I guess that was the whole thing. If you were really good, I didn't watch you. Pearsall is not someone I've gotten to yet. Watched 15 receivers, didn't get to him. That's how good this wide receiver class is. Such a good class. And I think there was so much movement for wide receivers overall. Pearsall is a guy I'll definitely have to go watch. I think shout out to the two Xavier Worthy and Xavier Leggett as well, the receivers, one from Texas, one from South Carolina. Worthy, I think you're a winner if you're the fastest 40 in NFL history at the combine. I think that makes you a winner and potentially helps you into the first round. We'll see. You know, people might like Adonai Mitchell, his teammate, better. I mean, then Xavier Leggett, someone that I do really like. He's currently my wide receiver 6 and is flirting with wide receiver 5. I just love everything about him. Statistically, he checks out too. And then he goes, you know, he's 6'1", 220, runs a 4.39. Like, just all the good things there. So those two guys and Pearsall as well, guys that I think I don't know if they're round one guys just yet, but they've now pushed themselves to the front of the line in the second round.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And I think it's kind of an argument for the Chargers potentially not taking a wide receiver. Again, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is not on the board, you know, there's 20 guys in this class that are like, man, I could really love this fit here. So it's really hard for me. Like the combine, I think if you're moving players up and down the board after the combine, I think you're making a mistake unless it was like a disaster or like amazing testing and you didn't expect that. But even after the combine, I'm like struggling to break some of these ties at wide receiver in particular, because there's a lot of stylistical differences. And then like the testing guys like did so well. And then there's like film guys that I really like. So wide receiver is a tough position to really like pick your poison here, because there's just so many different kinds of flavors this year.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it was last year, the year before, once you get to round two or three, a lot of really good guys, but they're basically smaller, kind of undersized, maybe slot specific guys. This year, you want a guy who's 6'8", he's there. You want a smaller guy who's twitchy, he's there. You want a guy who just you can throw it down the field to, and he runs a 4.3 or 4.2. There's 18 of those guys. I mean, whatever you need in this draft, they're all there. It's an incredible class.
Yeah, 100%. A class that I think has become perpetually underrated at this point in time is the cornerback class, and that's where I'm going to go next with Rutgers cornerback Max Melton. I saw a good athlete. I saw somebody who was able to go toe-to-toe with Marvin Harrison Jr., with Roman Wilson in terms of athleticism, in terms of speed, in terms of tracking the football, in terms of positioning. Somebody I like his mentality a lot. And then he went and ran a 4.39 this week at the combine. I think his I was maybe a little concerned about his frame, you know, moving him into the slot, but he has above average arm length, over 32 inches there. And then he's 5'11". So he's not necessarily a giant corner. You know, there's a bunch of those in this class. There's Cam Hart, 6'3", and Kyrie Jackson, 6'3", who we like. But I was a little concerned that Max Melton was maybe like a 5'10 or below type of corner. But he's got good size. He tested very, very well in terms of the 40. He jumped over 40 inches in the vert. He jumped over 11 feet in the broad. So he's very explosive athlete as well. The tackling is a bit of a concern, but he's a willing tackler. So I think it's some correction that needs to happen there, but it is a correctable issue. So in this class where you have some of these kind of subpar testing testers at corner, you know, Max Melton testing great. Again, somebody who did well at the Senior Bowl, just somebody who's checking boxes, and this was the next step for him. So if you are the Chargers in this case, I think 37 would maybe be a little bit too rich for Max Melton. But again, if you have a late second rounder from a trade down, I think that's kind of where you're targeting him in like the 50, 60, 70 range.
What did I tell you guys? If you tested well, I didn't watch you. And I've watched 75 players at this point. And yes, I've watched some players that have tested well. I've not watched Melton either. I know for sure Alex has watched Melton, and Melton shouted him out. So that was really cool for him. But
yeah,
definitely have to go watch him. There were corners in round one who tested very well. Mitchell and Wiggins obviously running at minimum very, very fast and testing well and matching what was on tape. How much stock do you put into Terrion Arnold's 4.5 40? Because there was a lot of discussion about that specific number and how some people, fans, I should say, went, okay, well, 4.5, I'd rather go with Mitchell. I'd rather go with Wiggins over someone like Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, I think you're trying to look for a player who checks as many boxes as possible. And I think there is some legitimate concern about Terrion Arnold's lack of long speed in comparison to the other guys. But, you know, Nate Wiggins is extremely light. Like, I'm concerned about his frame holding up in the NFL. He got hurt at the combine. Obviously, hope everything's okay. Quinyon Mitchell is somebody who, like, tested great. His film is fun, but he's a subpar tackler. Like, there's no cornerback is perfect unless you're talking about, you know, like the best cornerback prospect ever, maybe a Darrell Revis type or Deion Sanders or whatever. But I think he's fast enough. I think he overcompensates with his speed, with his, or maybe lack of speed, I should say, with his instincts, with his ball skills, with his physicality, with his mentality. I think there's enough there where I'm not concerned about the 4-5. And there are other cornerbacks in the league who are great cornerbacks and also run a 4-5 because they have all of those other things that are, that they bring to the table as well. So I still have Arnold as the CB1. I didn't see anything this weekend that made me question otherwise. And then he crushed the interview circuit as well in terms of the media. You know, obviously we don't know about how he did for the team interviews, you know, behind closed doors. Based off of what I saw on TV and on cameras, I would imagine he did very, very well in those interviews. So I think he just checks the most boxes. Maybe he's not a perfect prospect. And I can understand why some people disagree with me who call him a blue chip player, but he's CB1 unquestioned for me. I think there's a pretty significant gap between him and the rest of the corner class.
I think I would agree. I'm going to watch these guys one more time, that particular trio at the top. I'll watch them one more time just to make sure, even if he is slower than the other two corners, hey, when you're throwing the football and the opposing team is throwing the football, maybe you want to be faster, or you do want to be faster. The other opposing team can also run the football or throw a screen or a shallow crosser and make you go tackle. And that's where Arnold is significantly better. So, you know, maybe he doesn't run a 4-3 or he doesn't run a 4-3. I don't think it hindered him as much. And it's not like the Chargers are unfamiliar or Chargers fans should be unfamiliar with a corner who doesn't run a 4-3. I mean, Casey Hayward is the best corner the Chargers have had in a while. I think he ran like a 4-6. So different zone corner. So very different, I guess. But
yeah,
you don't necessarily need to be running that fast to be great. It helps with the tiebreaker, I think. But Arnold just has a little bit more ahead of those guys because he can play the run much better than those guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Was he your other winner?
He was one of them. I could have mentioned him, but mostly for the interview stuff, because if you're going to just look at the testing and that's all you're taking away from there, you're not really doing the combine right. To me, the interviews, the meeting in person, the temperament, the character of those individuals, that matters a lot. So guys like him, guys like Jack Powers Johnson, apparently crushing the interviews, that meant a lot. So in a different kind of way, those are winners as well.
Yeah, I agree there. Those were the main ones that I wanted to highlight. Did you want to highlight anybody else?
I could go for a while. I mean, Florida State's Braden Fisk. I liked him. Second round grade on him. Not the biggest guy, but a great tester. Jalen Wright, I think one of the most underrated running backs in the class from Tennessee. First in yards per attempt, first in yards after contact per attempt, third in breakaway rate. And he's like in the hundreds of a lot of consensus boards. And yet he goes out and runs a 4.38. So I just think you pay attention to those guys. Who else? I think Joe Alt, kind of, because he tested very well. He finished the testing, and I think he solidified himself as maybe OT1 in this class. So a lot of winners. Could go on forever on this one, but I'll leave it.
Sounds good. Garendo from Louisville, the running back as well. I have not watched him, but him and Jalen Wright, man, like, athleticism is very real there. In terms of the opposite direction here, in terms of the followers, unfortunately, you do have to start with Bucky Irving, who entered the week as my RB1. Just from a film standpoint, I love Bucky Irving. The analytical profile is fantastic as well in terms of missed tackles force, in terms of yards after contact per attempt. There's so much to like there, but he's like 22nd percentile in a lot of categories in terms of athletic traits. And that's just, it's a tough, I don't think you should fall off of a player that drastically based off of what film tells you. But at the end of the day, like, this is becoming a position that is really reliant on explosive traits as a way to raise a player's floor. Film can do that as well. But, you know, you're looking at these guys who we just mentioned, two of them, and then Trey Benson goes out and runs a 4.39, and Jonathan Brooks, to me, also has great film. So I'm not a huge Blake Corum guy, but Blake Corum tested very well. And so it's like, there were a lot of running backs who did extremely well at the combine. And then Bucky Irving, unfortunately, did the opposite. So he is no longer the RB1 on my sheet. Unfortunately, it was that bad of a testing weekend for him. So it's unfortunate because I love the film. I love the prospect. But, you know, this is a position where you're trying to bet on those athletic traits weighing out, and you're trying to match athletic traits and film as well. And so you match a guy like Trey Benson, film testing was great. Jalen Wright, film testing is great. So unfortunately, I do think Bucky Irving has to drop a few spots for me.
couldn't believe it. When I saw that was the testing, I could not believe that it was his testing. And frankly, watching the film, you know, game speed, GPS, all those things do matter more. But boy, I didn't expect 22nd percentile out of Bucky Irving. Like, you rarely get to be that good in college and that good in per play stats, and then also be, I'm not that bad. We don't really know. Maybe there's an injury. Who knows? But usually you're like, what happened? That was such a surprise. I didn't expect that. That was the biggest surprise by far. I think if we had talked about one single player today, I think we both would have said Bucky Irving in terms of stock down. That was unfortunate. Another Oregon player, Troy Franklin, is another player I'll bring up. It didn't test poorly by any means. I did not watch the combine live. I didn't watch it on TV. But based on reports, he fell four separate times during positional drills and had problem pulling in the football and catching the football during various drills. And that's just, it's not great, obviously, when that happens. But it's really not great when we just talked about how many good receivers there are in this class. If someone like Leggett moves up and Worthy moves up and Mitchell moves up and all these guys, Pearsall moves up. If you're out there and you are struggling to do these drills, you're going to move down. And unfortunately, this is, you know, Franklin, he's bottom third in this class in contested catch rate, in drop rate. So if you go out there and you're struggling to move, keep your footing and catch the football, that is a very, very tough sell. So that's going to move him down, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's like the same kind of story as Bucky Irving. Like, it's, you know, it's a guy who the film, it looks really good. You know, he's running past people. And it's not just like, I know people out there will say, it's like, oh, he played in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is really good this year. But Troy Franklin was running past everybody. And I think he does have that top speed. But I think you see kind of the athletic difference between him and a guy like Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman was hitting like over 20 miles per hour on the gauntlet drills. And Troy Franklin was consistently around like the 17, 18 mark, which is still very fast. But he doesn't have like that instant short area quickness and speed and explosiveness that I think people are again, trying to break ties here. That's something that really matters, I think.
Yeah. Anybody else for you stock down in particular?
Yeah, stock down, I think Braylon Trice. Unfortunately, you know, this edge rusher group does kind of lack in that second tier. And I was hoping that Braylon Trice, who reportedly tested very well at the Washington Pro Day in the spring, just did not have that same kind of explosiveness that I was hoping for. Again, the film is really, really good. I think there is a lot to work with there in terms of his motor, his character. He also was another one who kind of he stumbled a couple of times. He was slow. He like missed. He did the drills wrong a couple of times as well, had to restart. So it was just an unfortunate weekend for him. And I think these athletic traits in the second round, third round guys, you're looking for guys who can, you can really bet on that upside. And unfortunately, Braylon Trice just tested very poorly. Maybe that changes at the pro day, but right now I think stock down for Braylon Trice is fair.
Yeah. I'll go with another defender. That's Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner from Alabama. There has to be a whole study on his fall from grace from the last year to this one. And this, they discovered a Jones fracture, and that's not going to impact his 2024 season. It sounds like he's going to go through his pro day and he's going to, you know, work through it, play through it, whatever, and then have the procedure this summer. And then it shouldn't impact his rookie season, but it's just another thing. And for a guy who's been struggling to hold on to even CB2 or CB3, for that to happen, that's just going to move him further and further down. So he wasn't able to test at all. And that's very unfortunate. So nothing major. He's never missed a game at Alabama. This is not an injury prone player. So I think he's still going in the first round. But it's just another thing for a guy who keeps falling down draft boards.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair characterization for him. Again, hopefully the pro day goes really well, but there are athletic concerns there too. And so I think even more so than a Terrion Arnold type. So you're trying to check all these boxes, I keep saying. And unfortunately, Kool-Aid McKinstry just has not had the offseason I think everybody was hoping for there.
Yeah.
All right. Like I mentioned earlier, we are going to do a quick 5-round mock draft. 5 rounds kind of our sweet spot. Appreciate and respect anybody who feels like they can do 7 rounds respectfully. We like to talk about players that we actually have watched and studied. And so we get to 7 rounds and we're kind of like, that's a name I recognize. Let's take that guy. We're not going to do that today. We're going to do 5 rounds. We are going to consider and weigh the trade down options. That doesn't exclusively mean first round. Maybe we do a stick and pick at 5 scenario and trade down in the second round. Like I've talked about before, I do expect Joe Ortiz to play the board on draft weekend, and we'll kind of see what happens there. So again, 5-round mock draft on Pro Football Focus. And we'll jump through some scenarios here.
Well, I hopefully don't trade down too many times because I'm not doing that much math, man.
No, we'll do, if we do a trade down, it'll be one time. We're not going to get crazy with it. I think, again, you can go crazy on the PFS simulator to trade down 17 times if you really wanted to. I think that's a little unrealistic. So we'll do, if we do a trade down, it'll be either at 5 or at 37. We'll kind of weigh scenarios there.
Okay, sounds good. Here we go. Start the draft.
All right, so this is definitely a trade down scenario for me. You have Caleb Williams, Drake May go 1 and 2. Marvin Harrison goes 3. Malik Nabers at 4. This is a scenario that I do think is possible because I just think these wide receivers are that good. So on Pro Football Focus simulation, we have 23 teams interested in trading for this pick right now. This to me, if this scenario unfolds, is a no-brainer trade down. So let's look at some of these teams that might be interested here.
Basically everyone, but I am certainly more looking into the Atlanta Falcons, Minnesota Vikings here.
Yeah, Falcons very potentially interested in Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield. So I think in a quarterback scenario, I would trend towards the Minnesota Vikings because I think if you trade down to the Vikings, you can get a future first round pick due to the quarterback tax.
Yeah, the quarterback tax helps so much here. And frankly, Daniels being available here, I don't think he'll be available, but if he is, that helps so much. That makes that pick way more valuable for the Chargers. That's a whole bidding war at that point. He seems to be the consensus QB3. So yeah, in terms of what the Chargers would get, so they give up the fifth overall pick, obviously. Unfortunately, the Vikings don't have a third round pick this year or another second round pick. So you're definitely getting their first and second this year. And then you're aiming for something next year. Now, in terms of the value of the selections, technically 5 for 11 and 42 is about even. I actually think the Chargers have to send a pick if we're just looking at pure draft pick value. But because of the quarterback tax and the luxury of having to trade up for a quarterback, the Vikings will have to give up more. When the Bills traded up with the Bucks for Josh Allen, they swapped first round picks, obviously. And then the Bucks got 2 first round picks in that draft, as well as obviously the pick they traded back for. So I think for the Vikings here, it doesn't matter for our simulation. It's just a 2024 simulation, but the Chargers should either get a round 1 pick next year, round 2 pick next year, either way. But I'm with you. I'm on board for trading down at this point. I think if Nabers were there, we'd have a bit more of an argument here. I love Brock Bowers, of course, but the team is not one pick away. I'm all for trading down and seeing what happens here at 11. So is this okay? We feel like 11 and 42 for 5. There will be a future first or second. It doesn't matter. I'll say future first. It doesn't matter for this year. But hey, I'll take it. If that nets them the equivalent of Jackson Powers Johnson next year for whatever, some mid-round pick, I'm all for it. So this work?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
I will force the trade. I got it right this time.
There's definitely some things you could like throw in there to make things work differently if the Vikings are playing hardball a little bit. But
yeah,
that to me is kind of like the starting point. Second this year, first round next year, and then we can get rolling.
Cool. I'm excited. Let's resume this draft. Alrighty, so Fuago, Wiggins, Bowers, Odunze all go.
The Vikings took Cooper DeJean.
Vikings took Cooper DeJean. Hey man, you guys do whatever you want. Not my business. So at this point, I think a lot of Chargers fans are on the same page. It's corner or tackle. To me, I think Trey Pipkins will be better in this system with this coaching, with Ben Herbert, Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh, you name it. They literally do not have enough corners to field a true defense out here. And you know, of course, offense would be great. But to me, this is corner, and I think we've made our intentions clear on which one so far.
Yeah, I have a really hard time picturing Olu Fashanu, is what I learned it's pronounced this week. But I have a hard time believing him. He's on the board here. If he is, I think you could have a legitimate debate between Fashanu and Terrion Arnold. But for me, I just think Terrion Arnold is the better prospect. Like you, I also agree that Trey Pipkins is slated for an improvement in 2024. So I'm on board, obviously, with Terrion Arnold being the pick here at 11.
Yeah, no problem for me. Okay, Terrion Arnold, that's pretty easy for me. We'll see what happens in round two.
So now, obviously, the Chargers have 37 and 44?
42.
All right, so this should be fun. Zach Frazier just went at 35. That's an unfortunate one. Obviously, Chargers need a center. Corey Lindsey likely to retire. There's J.J. McCarthy at 34. So maybe PFF needs to update their simulator rankings here a bit.
Well, he was the first quarterback taken just in the second round. So I don't think Jim specified.
See, this is kind of the reason why I'm potentially on board with waiting at receiver or offensive tackle, because I really believe in the depth of this class. You like Jordan Morgan a lot at tackle, I believe, if I remember correctly.
No, but I appreciate you ahead of
okay.
time.
I thought we talked about him. I like him a lot at guard, for what it's worth. I think he'll be a fantastic guard prospect. So you could maybe kind of just take a versatile offensive lineman there. The wide receiver board here is completely stacked still with Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, Xavier Worthy, Ricky Pearsall, who I just talked about. Where are you leaning here at 37 after taking a corner at 11?
Yes, if you go defense first, you got to take an offensive playmaker here. And for me, with tight end not being my favorite here, you go wide receiver. I have not watched Roman Wilson, so you'd have to tell me how you feel about him. There were some rumblings about him being one of the fastest guys at the combine. It wasn't a slow 40 by any means, but I believe it was like a 4.4. So not the 4.31 somewhere projecting. Pearsall, I'll have to take your word for it there. But Polk, Worthy, obviously Xavier Leggett, I really like. Great options there. It just really depends on what kind of receiver you want. Keon Coleman is the highest ranked on the board. Not a particular favorite of mine, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would debate here. Let me pull my grades just to be sure. I have actually the highest graded receiver on the board for me right now is Jalen Polk from Washington.
Me too.
I believe he would be a perfect fit for what the receiver room would look like. But I also understand I'm maybe a little higher on him than some other people. So I would be debating between Jalen Polk or Roman Wilson here personally.
Okay.
I could also understand Xavier Worthy, the current fastest man in combine history. that edge rusher room also could be mighty enticing there, but we're going offense. So I'm okay with Wilson. I'm okay with Jalen Polk or Xavier Worthy.
Let's go with Polk. We both like him. Next highest graded wide receiver, and we both actually watched him. So there we go. The Venn diagram aligns. Where's Polk? Did I lose him? There he is. Yeah, Polk for me, wonderful. I really like Kyrie Jackson, the corner, and Polk just to be able to get on top of a 6'4 corner with a lot of speed and score a touchdown like he did in that game. I think Polk is awesome. I think it's unfair that Washington had him and Odunze. So Polk's cool with me here.
Yeah.
Frankly, we could take Worthy in 5 picks too if we wanted to. Polk is my favorite receiver remaining, so I'll go with Polk here.
Yeah, and for those who might be questioning this, Steve Smith actually has Jalen Polk graded higher than Romo Odunze. If you
really
want a different opinion there, you can go. Steve Smith,
we should
loves
have led
Jalen
with that.
I think Steve Smith likes guys who remind him of him. And so Jalen Polk has that kind of toughness that Steve Smith played with. And so I think that's probably why. But I think there's a lot of natural transition, again, from Odunze or from Mike Williams to Odunze. And same thing with Jalen Polk. Jalen Polk's an outstanding contested catch player. He's an outstanding, intermediate kind of player. He can play the X, he can play the Y, he can play the Z. So there's a lot to like there with Jalen Polk. And, if you're a little lower on him than us, I think I understand why. Again, this wide receiver is so stacked, it's just kind of personal preference there, and we obviously...
Yeah, I would agree. Cool. I think if the Chargers didn't take Quentin Johnson last year, I'd be more convinced to take someone like Worthy in the second round. But I think with two potential down-the-field guys, Quentin Johnson coming out, obviously the question mark was hands. Worthy, that is the question mark for Xavier Worthy, is the hands, contested catch, drop rate, etc. So I don't know if you want to go two there. So Worthy... In just a vacuum, it's like, okay, Justin Herbert throwing to the fastest guy at the combine sounds fantastic, but I don't know if you want to invest in hands that are as questionable. But again, if you trade back, do whatever you want. You could take him just for fun.
Yeah. So right now, obviously, we have the corner. Mm-hmm. We have the wide receiver. In this instance, I would prefer a front seven defender. I'm not super picky about edge, DT. I probably wouldn't take a linebacker, but I could hear you out there. So I would prefer a defensive line pick here.
As would I. So if Frazier were here, we'd take him as the center. I think now we're going to have to wait till the third round to find the next center, or maybe the Chargers sign one. So I think an edge rusher or the interior guys here would be great. I would be very tempted for Sainra still as well, but we did take our corner. So I don't know if we want to do it twice, although we could in the third round. So to me, I'm looking at defensive tackle. I'm looking at edge, and I'm feeling good about either. You really like Darius Robinson, and he is, I've watched him just briefly because you told me to watch him. So I got all of like 1.5 games in. The dude's got power for days. And in a world where we've watched more of Khalil Mack than I anticipated doing as a non-Raiders fan, of course, and then suddenly Mack's on the Chargers, that power stuff, man, when you have that extra thing that you can do is wonderful. And I think the same goes for Thule too. Honestly, when they drafted him, I thought the one thing that he would have walking into the NFL was power and playing the run. And so, and look, he turned out pretty good. So the only holdup here is this is pre-free agency, and we don't know what's happening at edge. So would you invest a second round pick in what is currently your fourth edge rusher, or would you go more defensive tackle with, say, like a Chris Jenkins? I don't know if Braden Fisk fits their type. Jenkins obviously does, or maybe someone like Rook. So post-free agency, I believe edge would maybe be more likely, but it's tough right now because we're projecting quite a bit. Whereas a defensive tackle, they don't have enough guys. And then linebacker, I'm not investing in linebacker just yet.
No, linebacker, I think I saw Adrian Cooper. I know Junior Carlson's on the board. 42 is too early for me for a linebacker, even with the Chargers' need there. Darius Robinson would be my edge choice. I would be okay with it. Right now, the Chargers don't really have interior defensive line depth that they need. They could certainly invest in that. I think for sake of where the Chargers are at right now, I wouldn't be opposed to Chris Jenkins here either.
Yeah.
Although he did not test like the mutant of all mutants. He tested very well.
Like one of the B tier mutants. No, I'm kidding. He's very good. I think, look, we'll do another mock draft. I think post free agency, we can go edge. I think right now, because the Chargers have the roster the way that they have it, I kind of think we have to go defensive tackle and Chris Jenkins here.
Yeah, okay. I tend to agree. Cool. So let's take Jenkins.
Pre-free agency, I think you have to go defensive tackle here. I do like other ones later on.
All right, so as of this current moment, we have Terry Arnold, Jalen Polk, and Chris Jenkins on the Chargers roster. Is this a linebacker territory? Is this running back territory?
Yeah, running back, I think, can wait. On this particular board and on the consensus board, you can still wait for the guys like Wright, like Benson. I still don't know why, but hey, if you're going to play the board that way, that's how I'll play the board.
Man, this wide receiver board is still really awesome.
Really good. As are some of the centers. So obviously, this is the point where you have to start considering center, I think, if you don't have, or if you take someone and you've drafted someone, or excuse me, you signed someone. I think you have to start considering a center here, whether it's Van Pran or Mason McCormick, who tested very well, calls protections from guard at South Dakota State, which I did not realize. And Alex Katzen discussed that in the chat with us, and that was pretty cool. Practice center at the Shrine Bowl. So good stuff there. So you could go center here. Otherwise, I think it kind of just BPA at this point.
Well, I mean, that would probably be Rook, but we just took Chris Jenkins. Although you really like Xavier Leggett.
Yeah.
I really like Brandon Dorlus too, but again, we just took Chris Jenkins.
Well, okay, so I'm not entirely opposed. I don't think we can take two D tackles and survive the comment section. But I do understand the allure of maybe more of a run specific guy and then more of a pass rusher in Dorlus. So I wouldn't mind him. Who else can we look at? I prefer Michael Hall to Dorlus,
Bucky Irving, unfortunately.
I would as well. I didn't realize he was that far down.
I would be okay. Oh my gosh.
This is maybe Theo Johnson territory too.
He's at 155, believe it or not. So we could wait quite a bit for him if we wanted to play this particular board.
Okay. I'm on board with McCormick to be the center of the future here. The dude tested like an athletic freak. The film is I haven't watched it, but I watched the Shrine Bowl clips, and the dude was amazing at the Shrine Bowl. So I'd be on board there. Or maybe one of the running backs, because you could get, I think, RB1 at this point in time. I know Trey Benson's much further down here, but I think you could entertain Trey Benson. Yeah,
realistically, you're probably looking at Trey Benson here. If not, then definitely the next pick. But let's go center of the future here. If we believe in McCormick to be that guy, let's go with Mason McCormick. And then I think I feel like I know what the next two picks are going to be. So let's go with our center of the future here. At minimum, interior offensive lineman guy of the future. He doesn't have to start.
Yeah. Yeah. He could be guard for you. Like you mentioned, does calls as a guard, which is pretty crazy. Brett Coleman swears by Mason McCormick for what it's worth. This is definitely running back territory for me.
I'm Trey Benson. You got a 9.75 RAS. Your film matches. Numbers are great. Runs well. Yeah. Catches the ball. I do not know why he's here, but I'm happy to take him here.
Yeah, I would go Trey Benson. A lot of people love the fit of Braylon Allen for the Chargers as well, but Trey Benson, as it currently stands, is neck and neck with Jonathan Brooks for RB1 for me. I haven't broken that tie yet. They both have medical concerns, but okay, I would go Trey Benson. I'm on board.
Trey Benson here, got a running back, a heck of a running back. And now we have one pick left, pick 139. Oh, look who's right at the top. One Cole Beasley. Well, you don't need me anymore.
Put some respect on my guy's name.
The Chargers technically, as it currently stands, could use a safety. So at this point, this is where I'm feeling linebacker territory with someone like a Michael Barrett. I'm also considering edge rusher if we didn't take one. So you could look at Jalen Harrell. You could look at Braden McGregor, the two Michigan guys. Maybe a little early here. I am very much so, because we don't have one thinking tight end here. I'm Theo Johnson right here. If we didn't take a center, then Drake Nugent. But I'm team Theo Johnson. And if you have anybody else you want to look at, I'm all for it. But that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I would be on board with Cole Bishop. I think he goes much earlier than the fifth round. I also think Theo Johnson goes earlier than the fifth round as well. Given the Chargers' needs, I think you take the tight end. Like, I think you can find safety depth in free agency at a much easier rate than through the draft. I think you want to take a shot on a long-term tight end, and I think Theo is that agree. Guy.
That'd be a fun pairing with Donald Parham or anybody else they bring in. So there we go. Now they're going to grade our mock, and because we believe in these players more than the mock that's not updated, we'll get a good like B- for this. But it's an A+ in my hearts.
Oh, we got a D for Jalen Polk, a D for Mason Woo-hoo! McCormick, and a C- for Trey Benson. What's the overall grade?
Is a C+. C's get degrees, man.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I understand why they had Polk at like the 60s, but it is what it is. They never give good grades for taking interior offensive linemen. I need them to put some respect on that. Like, you know, it's every time you take an interior offensive lineman, you get a bad grade for whatever reason on the simulator. So it is what it is. I would be thrilled with this draft. I think you check a lot of needs here. You get some instant impact guys with Arnold, Polk, Jenkins, and Benson, as well as potentially McCormick, depending on what they do in free agency. Tight end of the future. So I would be thrilled with this draft. I know a lot of people in the comments are probably going to be upset that we passed on Romo Odunze. I totally get it.
Oh, well. Send us your mocks. And I'm happy to discuss them with you in the comment section. I love a lot of mock drafts as long as they're mildly realistic. So yeah, let us know. We could have stuck and taken Bowers. But I like this group for sure. Benson is the easiest round four pick every single time I do a mock draft. So really like this group. I think we got the requisite one Michigan guy at least. You play corner, you play receiver, yeah. you play D tackle. That's addressing three of the four best position groups in this class. Didn't go offensive tackle. Definitely could have. That's a great position group. But this class is all corner, wide receiver, D tackle. And I think going 1, 2, 3 in that order, I feel pretty good about that.
All right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that one. Hopefully you're running through some different scenarios as we are currently doing right now and trying to weigh all options because I think everything's kind of on the table this year with the new regime. So we'll see what happens there. Like I mentioned, we are just under a week away from free agency. We'll have a lot of coverage on that regard on this channel as well as our own. So make sure and subscribe to both channels. Like the videos, comment, all that good stuff. Tyler, any final thoughts?
I'm excited, man. Boom, we're here in March. What happened? But it's March. Free agency is next.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. It's winning time.
Yeah, the draft is next month. So it's rapidly approaching here. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thanks to Greg Kim for producing and the rest of the Chargers team. You guys are the best in the business. Sincerely mean it. And that's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week. As always, bolt up.